Few things in life can be more agonizing than waiting. Can I hear an amen on that? I don't know what it is when it comes to waiting, but it's in moments of waiting where we tend to learn a lot about ourselves and about each other. This conversation even came up just the other night as I was with my daughter picking her up from dance, and when she let me know where she would like to get something to eat that night, she told me which fast food restaurant that we were going to go to and that she wanted to grab a burger from. I will leave the name out, but I told from the very beginning, I said, I don't want to go there because it's going to take forever. And sure enough, we go through the drive-thru, we order what she wants, and not even a moment later, they said, sir, could you move forward? You ever been there before, right? When you're going through the drive-thru line, and it's always a bad sign when they say, you're going to need to move forward and wait just a few minutes. And you're getting that look from the passerbyers who are getting their food already moving on. And so our order wasn't that complex. And it was almost 15 minutes later when our food showed up. Yes, 15 minutes later. And I've been griping about it ever since, I'm telling you. I'm not sure who learned more about me in that moment, if it was more what I learned about me in that moment or my kids. But my daughter did remind me this morning. She said, you know, it takes you longer on a Sunday morning to walk from one side of the church building to the other side of the church building because of all the people that you talk to than it did for me to get my hamburger. And she was right, so we're even. We're even. But few things in life can be more agonizing than waiting. Many of us, it could be if you're waiting for your phone to charge, for dinner to be ready, for traffic to start moving, for the line to go down. It might be for football season to get here. Some of you may be like, I'm ready for football season to be over, whatever the case may be. Some of you, it could be about the next Star Wars movie coming out, right? Like, you're always thinking about what's the next big thing that might be coming out. It's a part of the process of life when it comes to this idea of waiting. From the time we were born, we, for some reason, can't wait for what's next. To grow up, to graduate, to possibly get out of the house. Your parents may be more excited about that than you, by the way. To maybe go off to college or some sort of a vo-tech school of some sort, to earn a degree, maybe to get a job, perhaps meet the one, and you can't wait to get married, maybe have kids, at some point in time have grandkids, and at some point in time perhaps retire. Our culture tends to place a lot of value on this really being the norm, always looking to what is next, and potentially missing out on the present moment. It's really what we've come to know as the American dream, right? It's something that many of us, if we're not careful, we may not want to admit it, but many of us may feel entitled to it. We live in a culture where even the fastest things just aren't fast enough. From the internet to traveling, from getting from one location to the next, to perhaps apps on your phone that can do virtually anything this day and time. I don't need to carry hardly anything with me anymore. I've got flashlights on my phone. I've got calendars. I've got cameras. I've got playlists. I've got it on and on and on. I can even do my banking on phone, right? Instant everything. We tend to crave speed at a rate that has no tolerance for waiting. One thing I've learned, especially about myself, when it comes to waiting, is I'm terrible at it. It doesn't matter what the circumstances may be, what the context is, I soon find out pretty quick just how impatient I really am, especially when it comes to the unknown. I think back into seasons of my life where there were times where I was waiting, and I knew I was in a process of waiting. Even prior to coming here on staff at Quail Springs Baptist Church, what seemed at first to be a series of weeks turned into a series of months, and just this time and this period of just waiting. Countless conversations with my close brother over here, Todd, in his office, praying together, talking through what this time of transition is going to look like. Waiting is always harder to do when we are uncertain about life. when we're typically trusting God for the best, while at the same time, maybe preparing for the worst. Have you ever been there at this place where you're waiting to maybe hear back from the news of a test result? Or perhaps for someone that you care about to come back home? Or maybe a soldier within your family to return from duty? Perhaps you're waiting to see if one day you might get married, or if you might would finally have children or grandkids, waiting on a friend or a child or a parent to possibly give their life to Jesus. Waiting is always hardest to do in moments of times where we are waiting. Have you ever sat and thought, where is God in those moments of waiting? Here I am. Here are my circumstances. Good, bad, indifferent. God, where are you? What are you doing in the moments where it seems to be like times of eternity are passing by? Have you ever prayed to God and his answer wasn't a yes or a no, but perhaps it was simply, wait, not now? I think about David in Psalm 13 as he searches for God in the midst of his waiting. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? O Lord, how long? Do you hear inside of that a sense of pain, a sense of agony? How many of us here tonight have searched for God in moments of waiting and you feel like you're hearing very little to nothing in response? Perhaps no character in the Bible understood the challenges of waiting more than Abraham. We see in Genesis chapter 12 through chapter 25, an overview of Abraham's life of this period of 25 years of waiting. How much do you think happened during that period of time of 25 years of the challenges that took place? A lot. How often do you think Abraham was tempted to think, did I hear God right? Did I take the wrong turn? In Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, listen to this. It says, For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on the grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was close to 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. We know that God promises Abraham offspring, even though it says here that he was as good as dead, being close to 100 years old. He's also promised this land that would be set apart, that one day his people would be able to inherit. A promise that through his offspring, he would be a blessing to many nations to come. Talk about some pretty substantial promises and try to imagine what it must have been like waiting on those promises to be fulfilled over the course of 25 years. Can you imagine what it was like? There is no doubt that God was working on Abraham's character during that time to teach him about patience. It was during these 25 years of time that most likely God was doing his greatest work on transforming the heart of Abraham. And after years of waiting, Abraham was ready for that supreme test that we read about in Genesis when he was asked to sacrifice Isaac, the son who was the long-awaited promise to Abraham. I read stories like that, and I think over and over again, my goodness, what must it have been like and been required to have a sustainable faith that took place over the course of the years? I look to even people in my own life that I greatly admire, greatly respect, my parents and many others who over the course for decades have stood the test of not just time, but possibly testing difficult circumstances and trials and have come through those times and has seen the hand of God transform minds and hearts and continuing to do a great and mighty work at fulfilling promises. So the question I think that's difficult for us to ask is, what are your limitations when it comes to waiting on God? What kind of limits do you think that you might have when it comes to waiting on the Lord? God, I will wait patiently for you for at least this period of time, or at least until this happens, or that happens, or so on and so on. Where our willingness to be patient and waiting on God simply becomes conditional. When I look at the life of Abraham, I think of one who waited well. How many of you, when it comes to waiting, you see a desire even in your own life that you need to almost kind of have something to pass the time by? You don't deal with silence real well. How many of you as parents or grandparents find yourselves as the chief, and I'll use this term loosely, entertainers of your kids or grandkids when what seems like forever and you're just standing in line going from one point to the next, or perhaps you're on a car ride, right? I'm not sure for me if it was 20 years of youth ministry and driving buses and vans from one event to the next, or now as a parent of 13 years and long car rides. There's many, many times in my life when I think about those times of entertaining during times of waiting, either from a device or reading a book or listening to music. I'm not sure what for you what it looks like when it comes to either entertaining others or entertaining yourself from games or activities or songs, whether traditional or made up on the fly, whatever it takes to pass the time by. But what about when it comes to waiting on God? Waiting on God requires a level of engagement in our walk with the Lord that's greater than any other times, I would typically say. What should we do during those moments of waiting? What is our responsibility? What should we do, or more importantly, who should we be? Tonight, I want to quickly cover these eight things when it comes to waiting on God. And these are things that have seemed to be somewhat true for my own life. When I was putting this together, thinking I wanted to share what I have seen to be true in my own life in moments where I feel like I'm not hearing much back from God, or I know I'm in a process for myself or my family where I don't have an answer of a yes or a no, but simply a wait. What should we do, or more importantly, who should we be? Number one is be still. Be still. Slow down. Stop trying to rush God's plan. How many of you would say you can be somewhat guilty of that? God, let me step in and help you with this situation, because obviously you don't really see how pressing this is for me right now, for my wife or for my kids or for my coworkers. If we could just really hurry up the process, there is no need to get ahead of what God is doing and when he plans to do it. Stillness is a discipline that I think, especially us as in the United States of America, is something that we have to work incredibly hard at exercising this discipline. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. It's in those moments of stillness that God typically grabs my attention the most. And in moments of waiting, can we actively be still and hear from God? Number one, be still. Number two, be in the Word. What better time for you as a believer to be engaging daily in the Word than in moments where you are waiting? The temptation during times such as waiting is nothing short of worry. We worry because we want to be in control. It's essentially a form of pride, because when we wait on the Lord, we are saying to God, we know that you know what is best and you know what is right. And when we can keep our minds and our hearts engaged in God's word and scripture, we are more prepared for the wait. How awful would it be to know that God is in control of your circumstances and you're doing everything but being still? You're doing everything but engaging in God's word on a daily basis, and you're expecting your results to be different than they are. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is his word, and use this as a weapon against the enemy. And the enemy loves to plant thoughts of worry in our minds, in our hearts, especially during seasons of waiting for the unknown. Number three is be prayerful. If you could describe your prayer life during times of waiting, what would you say that it looks like? Stillness does not exactly mean silence. Conversation that's happening between you and the Lord. Listen to Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. I don't know if you see it in that moment. What I see is I see a heart of persistence. I see a heart of desperation, a crying out for help. And the response is, come to me and you will find a place of safety, a place of security, a place where I can have a new song put in my mouth, a song of praise to our God, even in the moments of the unknown. And as it wraps up in verse 3, where it says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Does your prayer life reflect trust that God is in control? Does your prayer life reflect that you trust that God is in control? Let us be reminded of Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where he says, do not be anxious about anything. And it's easy to say that, right? Like many times, based on our circumstances, this day and time, it seems like everywhere we look, we're seeing case after case of anxiety and depression and things that are just causing us to really struggle from one step to the next in life. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Recognize that God is worth putting your trust in. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Does your prayer life reflect that you trust that God is in control of the unknown? Number four. Number four is be mindful. Man, I think about times in my life where I feel like I'm not hearing a whole lot from God. Not that God is absent, not that he cannot hear from me, but I think about those times, how important it is for me to be reminded and be mindful of God's faithfulness during times of waiting. This is a discipline that I've learned over the last couple of years, is this idea of journaling and writing things down, recording times in my life where I feel greatly discouraged, recording times in my life where I feel greatly encouraged, where I see answers to prayers, and also where I see times where the answers aren't exactly what I thought they would be. I see God working in my life during those moments. There's something powerful about recording those things down. Why? To be mindful. To recount those things. Say, God, you were faithful here. You were faithful there. You were faithful in this situation and in that situation. How much more faithful will you be in my current circumstance? To be aware that even in moments of waiting, God is at work. Psalm 77, verse 12, it says, I will ponder all of your work, and I will meditate on your mighty deeds. How often do we need to sit down and begin to ponder, to think about, to meditate on, and write down and even record and recount the times in your life where God has been faithful? And even though your circumstances may say God is not present, He is far away and He is unaware of the difficulty that you're experiencing. Being mindful can make a huge difference in the process of our responsibility. Number five, be in community. When life seems bleak and you find yourself questioning God in His timing, do you tend to isolate yourself? Do you tend to withdraw? Or do you do what seems to be uncomfortable and you press into the biblical community that God has placed in your life? Paul tells us in Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Waiting during times of uncertainty is challenging enough, but to do it alone is even more detrimental. The only thing that I can think more agonizing than waiting is waiting alone without God's people in my life, without someone that I know who is a devoted brother of mine, a devoted sister of mine, coming alongside of me during the times of the unknown and encouraging me and even challenging me and even correcting me if necessary. Be in community. God gave us each other, the church, the body of Christ, and when we wait on God together, we will grow in the process. Number six, be in service. Moments of waiting, at least in my own life, has often led to times where I would be tempted to say I was experiencing apathy or laziness or even paralyzation, okay? Where what circumstances, I would ask, afford us the right to stop serving? What circumstances do you think afford us the right to stop serving? Serving the church, serving the lost. Our feelings of exhaustion when it comes to service can be overwhelming, to say the least. And our eagerness to serve, again, must be balanced with this idea of stillness, which is where rest, both physical and spiritual rest, can come from. See, I think there has to be this balance where we know and understand how to be still before the Lord, and we learn to experience rest, but we also learn to be in service and always working for the Lord. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith, even in times of waiting, with stillness as a part of our discipline." We have got to not allow ourselves to get in this state where we are no longer serving. Whether, again, that be serving the church, but also serving the lost. Number seven, be expectant. Be expectant. In moments of waiting, discouragement can settle, and you can soon find yourself expecting very little from God. Have you ever been there? If so, pride might keep us from saying yes, where we've been in a state of maybe just feeling overwhelmed and we're not hearing from God maybe in the time and the manner that we thought that we should. And so we no longer find ourselves expecting for God to be God and do things according to His time and His plan and His purposes and not necessarily my own. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we see where anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. What does it mean to earnestly seek God, to come to Him, to believe in Him, to pray with expectation, again, that all things are possible with God? Not some sort of name it and claim it type prayer. Not something that is aimed at getting some sort of response from God that hasn't been checked in your spirit. This is a time where we come before God and we expect God to be who He says that He is. Our faith is placed in His character. He's faithful. Number eight, lastly here, is be thankful. Lastly, no matter what you are waiting on God to do in your life, choosing to be thankful keeps our perspective right where it needs to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 tells us to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Regardless of your situation, being reminded again that God is in control and we can be thankful regardless of whatever the circumstances may be. So I ask this question that we must all answer. If these things are true, is he worth waiting for? Is he worth waiting for so much that I do not have conditions based on my willingness to be patient before him, his timing, his plans, his purposes? Is he worth being trusted? Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 and 26 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap this up by looking again at the life of Abraham. After 25 years of waiting, I love what Paul says about him in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. It says this, "No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised." So you see in that moment alone where I think Abraham, not only was his faith not weakening or his trust wavering, it grew stronger. You see, it wasn't as much about the promises being fulfilled as it was what God was doing inside of Abraham's heart. And the truth is, God, he's above all, he's over all. He can fulfill his promises at any point in time that he likes or chooses to do. What little we pay attention often to is, what is God doing in our hearts during the process? What is he doing in our minds during the process? Is our faith rooted more in the promiser rather than the promises? Are we more concerned about the outcome, or do we pay more attention to trusting the one who holds the outcome in his hands? Are you satisfied with fulfilled promises alone, or do you desire your heart to be transformed during the process of waiting? My prayer is that we, both individually and collectively, would be a church who patiently waits for the Lord, and we do it together in community. That we would be ready to go where he says go, when he says go, to move when and where he says to move, to do what he has called us to do, to be who he has called us to be. So I'm asking that you would bow your heads and close your eyes and just want to offer a time of response. For many of us, you might be here tonight, you might be thinking, the area that I'm waiting on the Lord in right now is something I'm terrified about. It's something I'm scared to even make mention of, or I don't even know the first step when it comes to taking to the Lord and praying about these things and seeking wise counsel and pressing into biblical community, being expected to think that God can and will come through to fulfill his promises and his purposes. Let's not let fear or anxiety rule over us, but let's take steps of faith toward taking those things to God. That might be you. The other thing is that God may be waiting on you. The invitation might be extended to you, and you know that you're wrestling in your heart right now, that God is waiting on you to respond to him, perhaps for placing your faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, perhaps being a part of this church fellowship here by joining Quail Springs Baptist Church. Our church, obviously, right now is in a season of waiting as well. This is a moment we can all identify with collectively as a church as we wait for who our new pastor will be at some point in time. Are we trusting the promiser over the promises? I would encourage you to pray through these things. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and I'll be down here at the front. If anybody would like to come pray, you can come to myself. The altar will be open, and just follow the Lord's leadership, what he might have. Lord, we come before you tonight. We thank you, God, that you're at work, and that you're faithful to fulfill your promises. Lord, would you do inside of us the unthinkable? Would you do inside of us something that might seem spectacular and miraculous, and do a work inside of us, God, that can only point to how good and great you are? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.